are listening to CKUD in Montreal.
Resistance. What's up? This is Saul Williams chilling here in Montreal here on CKUT. Peace.
We pledge alliance with those who have undergone attack for voicing opposition to the war.
What's up, good people? To those of you listening wherever, whenever, whatever time it is, good morning, good evening, and good night. You are locked into another Tuesday evening with Soul Perspectives right here on CKUT 90.3 FM. Soul P has been on the air since 1994. We bring you all the topics, the guests, the ups and downs, the highs and the lows of the black community here in Montreal, across Canada, and internationally. We have a beautiful evening of music and discussion lined up for you tonight. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives right here on CKUT 90.3 on your FM dial.
Got it, it ain't a question. Oh, it ain't no room for guessing. No more than emotionally invested. Showing you all my imperfections. Oh, if I let you, don't take me for granted. Yeah. If I'm worth more than you could manage. Manage, yeah. Open with me, oh, we could be honest. Closer to me, oh, giving me silence. Promise that you won't let me fall. Holding me tight, loving me right, giving me life all night. You could be telling me lies, making me cry, wasting my time the whole time. So just be careful what you take for granted. Yeah, 'cause with me, no, you could do damage. You could do damage, you could do damage, yeah. Worry about it, I'm putting pressure. You'll only cut me if I let you. No, we ain't doing this just for pleasure. Either learn me or I'm a lesson. Go on. If you want me, don't take me for granted. Yeah, if I'm worth more than you could manage, baby. Falling for me, oh baby, I caught it. Oh, we could be whatever you want, call it. Promise that you won't let me fall.
So, baby, you're the greatest. Yeah. Your friends don't have enough. Yeah. So baby, you're
Yes, 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 we're back, we're back, we're back. It's another Tuesday evening, and you are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and ladies and gentlemen, tonight, please tell your kids, take a chill pill, go somewhere else, listen to this a bit quietly, because we're going to be talking about sex, we're going to be talking about intimacy and eroticism. Tonight, we have Twyla B. Good, who's a sexologist, erotic and intimacy coach, as well as an erotic poet and owner of Taste of Sex. And her focus is working with women and men who want to enhance their sex life with erotica and intimacy coaching. She provides relationship, sexuality, and intimacy coaching, as well as adult erotic products. Taste of Sex is dedicated to giving you the best experience when it comes to having a healthy and sensual sex life. Each experience is unique, and excellent customer service is guaranteed each time. Twyla B. Good, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us this evening. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. You know, we're in the middle of a pandemic, or the end of the pandemic, or somewhere in this pandemic. So, you know, as well as can be. We ever since we restarted the show, we always try and check in with our guests. And how has this pandemic been treating you?
You know, it's been somewhat of a creative time for me. And so this is actually when I boosted my business. It was during the pandemic. Pretty much, I would say, like a lot of people, they took this time to reflect, to be creative, to work from home, and figure out their talents. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I've been doing. And so I decided to really expand on my brand, A Taste of Sex, Erotic and Intimacy Coaching Services. So, but you know, the pandemic has had its ups and downs, but for the most part, it's allowed me to tap into my creative side.
So A Taste of Sex, is this just the services that you provide, or do you have like a product line that comes with it? Is it a store? What exactly does your company entail?
So The Taste of Sex is a combination of coaching. It's a combination of sex education classes, as well as adult toys and lingerie. So it's a mixture of all things sex education-wise, kinky and erotic. It also involves poetry as well, because poetry, you know, erotic poetry can be a great form to express yourself. It can be also used as foreplay. So I wanted to incorporate all of that into the business, which creates a taste of sex. So you get a taste of some of everything.
Right, right. And how did you decide to come to become a certified sexologist? And what does it take for one to become a sexologist?
So I started doing erotic poetry, and I really enjoyed writing a little bit of fantasy and a little bit of reality when it came to sex and what I enjoy. And then I like getting into character. Mm-hmm. And then I noticed that when I would perform, people would come up and say, you know, I'm into BDSM as well.
Right.
And I decided to read up on it and say, you know, well, how can I educate people on this particular lifestyle? And so that's when I came across sex coaching and what it means to be a sexologist, a sex therapist. And so it just went from there. And then I signed up to be part of Dr. Rachel Institute.
Okay.
And she's great. She has a great class, coaching services on becoming a sex coach. And so I just took the training, self-paced training, and received my certification, you know, passed the test and everything. So here we are. And that's how A Taste of Sex came to be. And that's how I became a sexologist.
And just for people who don't know, what is BDSM?
So BDSM is a combination of bondage, dominance, submissiveness, and sadomasochism. So if you're into pain, mm-hmm. that's what that is. It incorporates all four of those dynamics. It's really a power exchange. So a lot of times when people think of BDSM, they automatically think of 50 Shades of Grey.
Right.
Which, Yes, that's one phase of it, but that's an extreme, you know, part of the spectrum when it comes to the BDSM world, especially if you aren't, you know, you don't know what it is and you're new to it.
So
it incorporates all four of those dynamics, but it means an exchange of power. You are relinquishing your power to your partner.
Right.
So that's where that dominance comes in, and that's where being submissive, you know, comes in. And so I educate people on this lifestyle if that's what they're into.
And does it always entail, like, humiliation and that kind of thing? Because that might be something that most people understand from when you talk about, when anyone talks about BDSM.
Now, it's not, the goal is not to degrade anyone. However, if that is what that couple or those, you know, that partner is into and that's what they enjoy, then you would also want to have, you know, your safe word. You want to have consent. And all of this is written down like a contract form, stating, you know, what our limits are, what our safe word is. What I do enjoy, what, you know, I don't enjoy was totally off limits. And so all of this is, you know, you have this conversation beforehand, you actually write it down, both parties sign, because if you are involving any type of humiliation, any type of extreme pain, you want to make sure that you and your partner are very well aware of what you're going into.
Right.
In case someone gets hurt and you don't want anyone to get hurt.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And as a Black woman, why would you say it's important to have sexologists in the community?
You know, what I've realized is that when it comes to sex overall, that's not something that we actually talk about in our households.
Exactly,
and
yeah.
So, you know, I just talk to women and men, and, you know, we were either educated on sex by, you know, from friends and porn.
Yeah.
And, you know, none of that is true education. I'm kind of just go with the flow and kind of figure it out. And so I wanted to, you know, get into this field and talk to women and men about, you know, sex education, healthy sex, and how you should talk to your kids as well, you know, when they have questions, how you should receive the messages that they're telling you. And so I wanted to have this format of healthy, open, and honest communication. Because a lot of us really didn't learn about it.
Yeah, because so it was very taboo, especially, you know, in the Black community. Sex is not something that's just, like, natural, because we're all human beings and we're all going to end up having sex at one point.
Exactly. And it's like, well, you know, masturbation is natural, you know, and you shouldn't be ashamed or feel nasty if you are doing that and you're in your teens. But how can I talk to my mom or my dad about that when, you know, they may, you know, yell at me or you know, frown and, you know, say, you know, you don't need to be talking about that. Or even just tell me to pray about it. You know, it's, that's not the answer.
Not for everything.
No. Right. So that's why I think it's very important that we have sex coaching. Because it goes into, it's just as important as mental health, having someone to talk to. And this lines up with that as well. Having someone to talk to about, you know, your fantasies, your desires, how to create intimacy in a relationship. And you may not know what to do. So having someone there to listen to and to talk to is always great.
And when you have an intimacy coaching session, is that necessarily, can it be with one person? Can it be with the both partners involved? What does a session look like?
So it can be with both partners or, you know, one person. And basically we're going over, you know, we talk to them ahead of time to find out what their goals are, what challenges are they having. And it could be where the couple has been together for, you know, over 10 years, and they need to create that spark again. So, you know, what does it mean to them to be intimate? You know, they could be on two different playing fields when it comes to intimacy. One may enjoy being touched, and the other, well, I'm not so much a touchy-feely person.
Right.
So how can we find out what their love language is? How can we find creative ways to be intimate. And some people avoid intimacy because they don't know how to naturally connect to that other person. Mm-hmm. And so a coaching session would be simply like this, where we sit and we talk and we go over, like I said, their goals, any type of challenges that they may face. And then I would give them homework, and then I would follow up and see how things are working out for them.
And do you dive into the why someone may not want to be touched, or like, because it sounds very similar to a psychotherapy session, in the way that you have conversations with people and finding out what their likes are, what their dislikes are. When you go to therapy, you find out what's going on in your mind. So is there an element of like going back and finding out why a person may like a certain thing and why they may not like a certain thing?
Yes, and it could be where just really trying to figure out, okay, the why, what's changed? You used to be intimate, now you aren't. So we would find out, okay, well, what has changed? And, you know, well, why has it changed? And how can we get back to that? Or it could be where the person never knew how to be intimate. So now when we're talking to some, you know, it's going to be different conversation. Okay, well, this is how you can be intimate. And it's okay to be intimate with, you know, the person that you enjoy spending time with. And intimacy doesn't always involve sex. So being intimate could be, you know, just simply having cooking together, for example.
Right.
That's sharing time and space with the person that you care about. Effective communication builds intimacy. A simple, sweet, you know, text message, or if you want to be nodded with it, that's intimacy as well. So,
right.
You know, I don't want people to confuse being intimate with always having sex, because that's not the case with when it means to be intimate.
Okay, so that brings me to the next question. What does it, aside from cooking and spending time, what does it mean to be intimate with someone?
So you can do, like I said, cooking is one thing, is a simple walk in the park, you know, taking the time out just to enjoy nature.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it could be something as simple as just simply being in the same space with the other person and, you know, maybe just gently touching them, rubbing their feet if they're into feet, you know, that's always a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Sensual massages are, that's also practicing a form of intimacy. Of course, going to the movies, but you want to create something that is building a connection between you and your partner. And you want to be able to communicate to them. And that could be just simply, and it could be, you know, touching is a form of communication as well. Yeah. And that creates the level of intimacy. So all of those different aspects is what I would go over, you know, with the couple that I would have in front of me.
Okay. This is such an interesting thing, because like even in our community, we don't talk about sex a lot. And I wonder about the why of why we came, because we are such sensual beings just naturally as people who are of African descent. If you look at our culture, if you look at our music, if you look at and even if you go back to the continent, you look at the way that the dances are, the movement, it's all very sensual. Just as we say in French, à la base, at the base of it, and yet, you know, it's, and as you look at hip hop music and R&B music, all of it's very sensual, but there's still this kind of disconnect of the sensuality from, you know, what is quote unquote expected. And I wonder why there's all this taboo, whereas a big part of the celebration of ourselves, and in the Caribbean, we have carnival, and, you know, there's, you know, the clothing that is used for carnival is like barely there. But then there's this huge taboo about sex and sexuality and eroticism in our community. I wonder where that stems from, and you know, if that's something that you address.
And it is. I think what it boils down to is how we are portrayed, you know, when I say we as Black people, how we are portrayed and how our European counterparts, if you will, how they view us. And it's very much not a soft, sensual outlook. They always seem to want to portray us very sexual and very...
aggressively.
Aggressive and very hard, and it's not safe. It's not. It's very crass, mm-hmm. to some degree. Even when it, you know, it comes to porn, you look at, you know, and porn can be a form of education, because they do have porn education videos out there.
Right.
But if you are watching porn in the sense of entertainment is concerned, you will notice how we are, I guess, objectified when it comes to the porn industry.
Right.
We look nothing like the white girls that are on there. You know, they're very much, they look very soft, very dainty to some extent. And then where it comes to us, you know, that's just not how they have us. You know, some [S2] Right. [S1] Of them have the tattoos, and it's nothing wrong with tattoos, of course, or they may have, you know, us out in the open and just very... not sexual at all. And I think that filters over in how we talk about, or how we don't talk about, sex in our community. Mm-hmm. We just don't view it the same, and we aren't as open with it like they would be. And so overcome that is how to have the conversation. And, you know, a lot of us still don't know how to have that conversation with our partner. We don't know how to have the conversation with, you know, our kids when it comes to sex, because it's all very natural.
Right.
But if no one educated us on how to talk about it, then how do we educate ourselves, and how do we, you know,
educate
talk
our
to
children.
Our kids?
Right.
Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, just trying to break that taboo of sex overall, to say it's okay if you are into certain acts, you know.
Yeah.
There's no judgment. There's no, I think that's what a lot of things is. Well, you know, if I like one thing, if I'm into this kink, mm-hmm. you know, will people judge me? If I'm into anal sex, you know, God forbid I'm into having something going up my ass, Lord, you know, like, no. And it's okay if you're into anal sex, you know.
Right.
But as long as you educate yourself on it, then you'll be better with it. Versus just getting out there and not knowing what it is or what to do. But yeah, so that's why I'm here, is to educate.
Educate people and let them know that they can be who they want to be.
Yes,
sensually,
exactly.
Erotically.
Exactly.
Just in case you're tuning in for the first time this evening, hide your kids, because we're talking about all the stuff. We are speaking to Twyla B. Good, who is a certified sexologist, erotic and intimacy coach. We do have to take a little break. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
My head up, even through the pain and the rain, yeah, I'll stand up. Hey, don't look at me, don't look at me. Walking with a smile, I'll be fine, and even through the rain, I'm gonna feel the sunshine.
she step where she want, yo, she make what she want, take what she want.
Cause I'm way too busy being who I was born to be.
She make what she want, take what she want, take what she want, yo, she step where she want, yo, she make what she want, take what she want.
Go. Everything I touch will turn to gold. Everything I touch will turn to gold. Everything I touch will turn to gold. And it's okay, say what you gotta say. You don't know, yeah, you don't know it. But everything I touch will turn to gold. And it's okay, say what you gotta say. Cause you don't know, yeah, you don't know it. But everything I touch will turn to gold. Will turn to gold.
You've been through, tell a story that matters to you. Take a peek into your mind, let your spirit be the guide to find your way back home. You need to learn to let go. Remember, you're born free from the victim mentality. Or so they can call you crazy, they can call you blind, and you could be afraid, yeah, it's alright. But push through, baby, push through. Stay true, baby, stay true. Starts creeping. Take a moment, sit still if you need it.
If you have flu-like or COVID-19-like symptoms, such as fever, cough, loss of taste or smell, or if you have been in contact with someone infected with the virus, it's essential to get tested and to follow isolation instructions, even if you're vaccinated. Screening remains one of the best ways to limit outbreaks. To find out more, visit quebec.ca/test-COVID-19. A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
Yes, 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 we're back, we're back, we're back. And you are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and today's episode is 18 plus. So the children, please either put on your headphones or ask them to leave the room, because we're talking about all the things tonight. We have Twyla B. Good, who is a certified sexologist, erotic and intimacy coach. Started off as an erotic poet and then decided to explore what is erotica more, and became certified and is now the owner of A Taste of Sex, which provides intimacy coaching as well as a line of adult erotic poets. Twyla, thank you so much. I'm enjoying our conversation tonight.
You
mentioned kinks earlier before the break. What is a kink? What does that word mean? What does it entail?
So I'm glad you asked, because that's what my topic is about tonight on my show. Because October is National Kink Month,
right?
And so basically, kink is the catch-all term for a range of consensual practices. And so that could involve role play, power exchange when we're talking about BDSM, and it could even involve fetishes. So it's like this umbrella, and then you have like all of these different kinky, I guess you could call it kinky practices.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, like I said, you want to get consent. You want to have a direct, clear communication between you and your partner or partners about what your desires are and what your fantasies are. At the end of the day, you want the experience to be a pleasurable one.
Right.
So for the month of October, you know, I had like each day was something that you needed to do that was kinky. That was my tip. That was people's homework. And so, you know, one could be restraints, you know, being restrained with handcuffs. Your ankles could be restrained. That was one day. Another day involved sending nude photos, you know, nude text messages.
Okay.
My thing is just be mindful of who you're sending it to.
Right. 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 Right.
So those are just like a few examples of how you can be kinky or naughty.
Right.
With your partner.
I'm glad that you brought up the whole be careful of who you send nudes to, because that is like something that's very prevalent with social media now. You know, people get angry at one another, and I find that it's usually women that become victimized and like shamed for having either done kinky videos or sending naughty pictures, you know, and it ends up all over the internet.
And that is so true. And so that's why I say you have to be cautious of who you are sending, you know, these pictures and videos to. And even if you're in a relationship, you still want to be mindful. And that could be where the contract comes in to say, okay, what, you know, I exchange with you stays between us. If we are no longer together, you know, you can make some type of agreement saying that these items will be deleted. Whatever it is that you can, you know, have an agreement between you and your partner, because that's true. That happens. You know, people get upset, they get mad. And the next thing you know, everything that you've done is out in the open for everyone to see, which is not a good thing at all. So
never.
You know, important. Never. Yeah. Being mindful of who you are sending your nudes to.
Yeah. And that segues into my next note, which is like, how important is consent for, like, when you're talking intimacy and you're coaching people, like, where does consent lie and the importance of consent lie in that conversation that you're having with your clients?
Well, you know, sex overall, you know, you have to have consent, period. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to the kinky BDSM world, you definitely want to have consent, of course, in the very beginning. And so we do have, I have what's called a BDSM contract. Mm-hmm. And that's where we go over that with both parties. And it has it on there, you know, like I said, you sign it. It's an actual contract where both parties have signed saying, I give consent to do A, B, C, D, X, Y, Z. Mm-hmm. They do not have my permission to do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, whatever those items are. So both parties already know going ahead of time that we both agree to do certain things and not others. We also have a safe word that we have created. I know the running joke was pineapples. That was like, I think Kevin Hart might have said that safe word. But you want to create a safe word with you and your partner.
Yeah.
So that could be, you know, red light, which means stop. Green light means go. Yellow could be caution. But you want to have that safe word created ahead of time, not right before you get ready to have sex. I mean, this is like weeks before.
Right.
Months before, you know, as you're getting to know your partner. So consent is very, 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 very important.
But say you have a couple that's not, they're not there for BDSM necessarily. Is consent still something that you have a serious discussion about?
I would say yes. I mean, because it could be something that where, you know, your partner may want to try, you know, it could be, we'll just say anal sex, for example. You still want to get your partner's permission to say, hey, you know, this is something I don't want to try. Is this okay with you?
Mm-hmm.
If they say no, now we come back and figure out, okay, well, what are, you know, why do you want to try anal? He or she's already told you no. Right. So what is the common ground that we can come to where both parties are pleased? But, you know, whether you've been together 20 years or 5 years, mm-hmm. consent still needs to be there.
Yeah.
In the very beginning. Mm-hmm.
And also the understanding that consent can be withdrawn at any moment.
Correct. Right. It can be withdrawn at any moment. Yes, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
So making
because,
sure that
because a lot of people, you know, they think that, okay, we got consent for it. We'll use your example. I had consent to do anal sex the last time, you know, mm-hmm. and I'll go ahead and do it now. And then it's like, whoa, wait a minute. I don't want that today, or I don't want that Correct. Ever again.
Correct.
Yeah.
So each time, you know, you to try something new, you definitely want to have that understood, articulated, you know, there should be no gray areas when it comes to consent.
Good.
And for, you know, men and women, you know, we always talk about women when it comes to consent. Men, you know, they could tell you no as well. So women must, you know, need to take heed to that.
I'm so glad you said that, because I in my personal life and just observation in general, I find that it's expected that men always want to have sex anytime, anywhere. So if a woman has like a higher sex drive than a man, and he's not, you know, he's not on that level, or he's not in the mood or something like that, it's like there's also quite a bit of shame. Even though it's not often that you hear about it necessarily, mm-hmm. there is quite a bit of shame related to that.
You're absolutely right, because the expectation is that, you know, like you said, men are always ready to go. That's all they think about, you know, is sex, you know, anything walking by with a dress on, their dick is going to get hard, and they're just ready to have sex with whoever's out there.
Right.
You know, and if he says, if he's in a relationship and he says, well, you know, I just don't feel like it tonight, I'm tired, because men get tired as well.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's a problem. Well, why are you tired? You know, what you been doing all day? Who you been doing it with? You know, you always used to want to have sex with me. And then all of a sudden, one day, he says, I'm tired. He does say no. Now, you know, is she upset because he told her no? Is she now trying to pressure him mm-hmm. to where he goes ahead and just gives in so that, you know, she'll be quiet?
Right.
So,
which is the same thing that a lot of women do. mm-hmm. when they're in a relationship. And what people don't understand is that's rape. Even if you've said no, if you said no 10 times and then on the 11th time you feel pressured to say yes, that's mm-hmm. that's called rape.
And it is, and you know, I don't think a lot of people view it as that, you know, mm-hmm. and sad to say, it's common, you know, more than we think that it is.
Right.
And so, especially on, you know, in a relationship, you know, if someone, he or she says, you know, no, I'm tired, whatever it is, just no means no. Just roll over and go to sleep.
Yeah. And there are means of getting yourself off, for want of a better word.
Exactly.
You can get up, go to the bathroom, handle your business, and then come back and go to sleep.
Exactly. And leave it alone. And it goes back to respect.
Yeah.
So be respectful of each other, you know, and they tell you no, your partner tells you no, like you said, go handle your business.
Mm-hmm. I have found that the people who have had the church in their life a lot, even if they left the church later on, I find that there's more taboo surrounding sex when it comes to people who are like deeply ingrained, especially in Christian and Catholic church, versus someone who's more agnostic, they're more spiritual in their life. Is that something that you've observed in, like, in your life in general or in any of your coaching sessions?
I would say it is out there when I talk to some of my other coworkers who are sexologists as well. And a lot of them, they specialize in with people of the church, whether it's, you know, the ladies of the church, ministers, pastors, wives, what have you. And they find that they have a hard time talking about it because it's the stigma of the church and sex should not go hand in hand.
Right.
And so they're humans. They have sexual needs and desires like anyone else. And it should not be frowned upon if they have these sexual needs and desires. Does not mean that you can't go to church because you like to have your, you know, you like to be spanked.
Right.
Nothing wrong with that.
Right.
But it is such this, once again, it goes back to that taboo and that stigma of, you know, I should not like certain things because of, you know, I'm in the church. You know, the Bible doesn't say I should like this or like that or whatever. And it's like, well, no, just wait a minute. You know, if you are into this with your husband, that is okay.
Right.
You know?
Because it's two consenting adults.
Exactly. And the church doesn't need to know everything that you're doing behind closed doors anyway.
All right. You said it.
And we all got here in some form or fashion by sex. So.
Right.
But yeah, I would say that people who are into the church, whatever their denomination is, they have a harder time being able to communicate their needs and desires to maybe family members, to their partners. It could be so much as to where, you know, if they are coming out as a homosexual, mm-hmm. but now I'm in a church, you know, how do I handle my feelings? Because the Bible may say one thing, or I've been taught that the Bible says this, but I know that I'm a lesbian, or I know that, you know, I'm into men. So how do I handle all of these emotions? So that's where we would come in and we would talk to them and just reassure them that this is a safe space.
Okay. So do you also cater to the LGBT community?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I have not sat down with any clients, but I do cater to them as well. I don't discriminate.
No, it's just, I think it's good information for people to know because, you know, as you say, someone who's coming out might need that kind of coaching mm-hmm. in order to understand themselves a little bit better before maybe going out into the world. And, you know, because one thing that I've learned over the years is that there are code words for everything. Like I've learned a little bit about the BDSM community, and they have their code words, and having TikTok and Instagram, you know, people are letting you know that these are different safe words, safe actions, for example, that in with a BDSM partner and their dom sub mm-hmm. Relationship, they have like different ways in which they may stroke their chin or their shoulder to indicate mm-hmm. different kinds of things. And in the LGBT community, there's code words as well. I remember distinctly meeting someone. They were joking about being friends with Dorothy, and that's like a code word that gay males would use to identify each other safely. Mm. You know. So I suspect that this is something that needs to be understood and taught and learned when it comes to any community.
I would agree, and you're right. I mean, to be taught, to learn this, to understand these different safe words. I know, for example, if you are into the lifestyle and you're into swinging, and you know you're a couple and that's the activity and the lifestyle that you're in, you're swingers. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, one of the subtle messages is to have a pineapple and turn it upside down. And so if you're in the grocery store and, you know, you have your pineapple and it's upside down, mm-hmm. that is a way of letting another couple know that you are a swinger.
Really? Mm-hmm. Because I saw, yes. That's so funny. I saw this, I saw a video, I don't know if it was on TikTok or Instagram. This woman goes up to a guy, like obviously they're filming it, goes up to a guy in a grocery store and taps him on the shoulder, and he turns around looking really confused, and she takes the pineapple and flips it upside down and then walks away. And I was like, I don't get it. And now you're telling me. Okay, so basically,
what did the guy do?
He kind of looked at it and he was very confused. He wasn't there with a partner or anything like that. But mm-hmm. I was super confused watching this video. And then the description didn't say anything either. I'm like, what is going on? But these are the things that will happen. And then like people who are not in the know are just like, what happened here?
That means that you know, they're into the swingers lifestyle. And so you know, I was reading, doing some research, and so if there's like an upside down pineapple, you know, sitting outside on the porch, you know, that lets the neighbors know that, hey, this is a swingers
house. You know,
house. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yes.
I'm always like, okay. Now I'm going to be looking out for the upside down pineapples.
Yeah. I don't know why pineapple, but yes. That's what it means.
Okay. Just in case you're tuning in for the first time, we are speaking to Twyla B. Good, who is a sexologist, erotic poet, erotic and intimacy coach, and the owner of A Taste of Sex, which provides the coaching services as well as adult erotic poet products and some poetry as well. And some poetry, you can get some poetry there as well. We're gonna have to take a little break. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Just like a star across my sky, just like an angel off the page, you have appeared to my life. Feel like I'll never be the same. Just like a song in my heart, just like oil on my hands. Only to love you. Still I wonder why it is I don't argue like this with anyone but you. We do it all the time.
this look I can't describe. You made me feel I'm alive when everything else is so fake. Without a doubt, you're on my side. Heaven has been away too long. Can't find the words to write this song. Oh, your love. Still, I
it's like the morning time. Don't wanna wake up, I just wanna stay in bed. But if I'm next to you, I'm looking forward to just laying in this bed. Ooh, that never gets old. Promise you'll never let go. I don't want no one else. So we should be chilling back. Ain't nothing wrong with that. So tell me that, tell me that. Tell me I'm the best I am. I be feeling like yes I am. I am. You know I'm the best I am. Be a fool to not take me as I am. Tell me I'm the best I am. I be feeling like yes I am, I am. You know I'm the best I am. You be a fool to not take me as I am. You're like the sweetest thing I know. Like my favorite Lauren song. And I need you really bad. Don't take me for granted. You'll be regretting it. Oh, I should be your last. Oh, yeah. Ooh, that never gets old. Promise you'll never let go. Grass ain't green nowhere else. So we should be chilling back. Ain't nothing wrong with that. So tell me that, tell me that. Tell me I'm the best I am. I be feeling like yes I am, I am. You know I'm the best I am. You be a fool to not take me as I am. Tell me I'm the best I am. I be feeling like yes I am, I am. You know I'm the best I am. You be a fool to not take me as I am.
Yes, 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 we're back, we're back, we're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and I am here with Twyla B. Good. Twyla, thank you so much. Oh, disclaimer, if you're just tuning in, tonight's an 18-plus show. So tell the children that they can go to bed or put on your headphones and listen. Twyla, thank you so much for being here. This has been an awesome conversation. I'm enjoying talking. I'm also an erotic poet, And I've always enjoyed like talking about sex with friends and family, and I think it's something that we should just always be able to talk about it. I mean, all of us got here some way, shape, or form. I tell people all of us got here through some kind of sexual act, and even if you're an in vitro test tube baby, somebody masturbated so that stuff could come up, because nobody's sticking needles in anybody's parts in order to get the sperm out. That's just not happening for that. So somebody had some kind of orgasmic pleasure in order for us to be here. So why aren't we talking about it more? That said, I would like you to tell us a little bit more about your adult erotic products from your company.
Like, so right now, I have products both on my website, and then I also have lingerie that I sell on Walmart.com, mm-hmm. and that is called Be Good and More. And so with the Be Good and More, it's, like I said, it's lingerie.
Right.
And, you know, I really can't sell toys on Walmart, of course, because mm-hmm. there isn't a category
for right.
like adult toys.
Right.
So you can go to Walmart.com and check out the lingerie there. That is Be Good and More. And then on my website, I have handcuffs, ankle cuffs. I have rope if you want to learn how to do shibari.
What is that?
Shibari.
Mm-hmm.
Rope play,
mm-hmm.
and it's very exquisite, very detailed, intimate way of tying your partner up. But you need to be educated in that, because you don't want to cut off anyone's blood circulation.
Right.
But it's an ancient Japanese art form when it comes to practicing restraint sex, and it's very sensual, very sexual. But it's called shibari. And so I have rope on there for that. I also have nipple clamps if you're into nipple play.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people, I don't think they realize, you know, you can have a woman have an orgasm simply by playing with her nipples.
Right.
And nipple play is one way to do that, because it's the erogenous zone. Mm-hmm. And so I also have floggers. I have the, it's called a taste of balls. And so it's where you put the ball in your mouth, mm-hmm. and it's where you can't talk. So okay. It gives you that gag reflex.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then I have other items of lingerie on my website as well. I have a goodie bag, which is like a spend a night bag. So when you're out going to your lover's house and you need a spend the night bag, then you right. can order that.
So what does this bag contain?
So with the bag, it can include whatever you want to put in there. So you can order your bag and you can customize it.
Okay.
So if you want, you know, lubrication in there, you can have that. If you want a flogger in there, if you want a dildo, vibrator, if you want an anal plug, you can have that in there as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm also partnering with B Condoms. They are a Black-owned condom company based out of Atlanta, Georgia. And so they're odorless condoms. They're great, so they don't stink. They're amazing. And so support them. And they can be found at Walmart as well.
That's interesting. So, you know, I'd never think that I wouldn't go to Walmart necessarily to buy condoms. I'd either go to a condom shop or a pharmacy. This is interesting that Walmart has lingerie and has condoms and specialized condoms as well.
Yeah, now with the lingerie, you'll see more of the, I guess, risque lingerie online. Like right. that won't be in the actual store.
Right.
The condoms, however, of course, they do have those in the store. And like I said, those are, they're all natural. They are odorless, because I don't know if anyone's used like Trojans and or if they've used Durex. They stink.
The it smells like the chemicals that they use is not very agreeable.
You should not smell like Autozone while you haven't sex.
I've never thought about that.
the next time you go to the car supply store,
right,
it has smells like oil.
Right. Right. Condom stink. And that can't be good, putting that into your body or putting that on your body, that kind of chemical.
Mm-hmm. So I know it's supposed to, I know why it's there, you know, to help with the course lubrication and so forth, but it just, you know, it's just not a pleasant odor. But like I said, they're bee condoms. You can find them on Instagram, go out and support them and order them. And then I also have, you know, women, we have all of these toys for us. We have all mm-hmm. kind of dildos in different sizes and glass dildos and, you know, vibrators.
Mm-hmm.
And for the guys, you know, got to have some love for them too. So,
you know, I was going to complain about that. I was going to be like, listen,